Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
You know, one of the things that is the difference between our religion in serving God and most other religions, in fact, no, not most other religions, but the difference between our faith and every other religion in the world is that your faith and my faith is built on relationships. Amen? Is that number one, our faith is built on a relationship with the creator of the universe. That just blows my mind. To think that the creator of the universe would want to know anything at all about Steve O'Donoghue. That just blows my mind. Because I know what I was like back in 1985. I was not serving God. I was not a great husband. I was addicted to drugs. In fact, I used to mock God. And yet in 1985, God reached down, amen, and touched my life. And in an instant of time, I was saved. And I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to say yes to a lot of rules and regulations. I didn't have to give any money. I didn't have to do any of those things. Jesus just said, "Will you just come into relationship with me?" And that's the amazing thing about the faith that we have, is that it all relies on a relationship with Him. But out of that flows relationships with others. And we're going to look at that this morning. If you have your Bibles and if you want to go to our text, it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 9. My apologies, we don't have any scriptures up this morning or any points, but we're in a relationship where we get to connect with and serve God. But also out of that, we get to enter into a relationship where we get to connect and serve with those around us this morning. How many people know that being alone isn't fun? How many people understand this morning that being alone can be miserable? And I understand there are times of solitude and times where God does things when you're on your own. But by and large, God has created us as social beings. He has created us to connect with Him, and He has created us to connect with others. Hallelujah. So let me read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. I just love this passage of Scripture. Two are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Let's just pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray. God, illuminate your word to us this morning. We want to pray over this scripture this morning and the scriptures I'm going to bring. And I just pray, Lord God, that our hearts would be open to the Holy Spirit. God, that it wouldn't be the word of a man this morning, but God, that you would take something of the clumsy words that I may speak this morning and you would ignite them in each and every heart this morning and bring a revelation of the importance of connecting and serving this morning. And all God's people shouted out together, amen, amen, amen. So, talking about relationships, how many people know it's not healthy to be alone? You know, I talked about creation earlier on in the service, you know, back in Genesis when God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. And, you know, before God did anything else, he was still just a lifeless being. But God breathed into him and he found life. And yet you can read the Bible later on. You can read Genesis later on. And God looks down and says, you know, as he's creating other things, he creates light, he creates the seas, he creates the stars. And everything he does, he looks at it and says, this is good. But when he creates Adam and he's on his own, God looks down and he said, this is not good. Because it's not good to be alone this morning. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, is where God says it. He said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Amen. And we can expound that by saying it wasn't just Eve being a helper for him, amen, but it was a two-way street, that Adam was also a helper for her, and they were just right for each other. Now, I mentioned this a little bit a couple of weeks ago when we're talking about wholeness in relationships. When we read this scripture, when we read Genesis 2:18, most people will automatically think of this as a marriage scripture. It is not good that man should be alone, and so he creates a woman, amen, and this is the first marriage. God brings that union together, and I'm sure that many of us have even heard many marriage sermons from this passage of scripture. Am I right this morning? And almost instinctively, we read this passage of scripture, and the first thing, or one of the first things that comes to our mind is, oh, this is a marriage scripture. How a man and a woman were joined. It's not good that a man be single, amen. That's not what this scripture is saying. The overriding principle from Genesis 2:18, amen, is not that everybody should be married, but rather that not everybody should be alone. Whether you're married or whether you're single, none of us were created to be alone. We were all created to be connected this morning. And the problem is that a disconnect happened the moment that Adam and Eve sinned. The first thing that happened was they were disconnected from God. Think about this. To me and to every Christian in here, I'm sure this would be our dream. The Bible tells us that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He walked with them, amen, almost every day, if not every day. Wouldn't that be cool this morning, to walk with God every day? Can I let you in a little secret? If you're born again and the Holy Spirit's in you, you actually do walk with God every day. Hallelujah. But there was a disconnect here. And the Bible tells us, I'm not going to read it all, you can go to the story yourself, but the Bible says the moment they sinned, they realized that they'd done something wrong, and their first response was to hide from God. And so Adam and Eve, that they're hidden, and God comes down to see them and to spend some time with them, and they're hiding. You know, can you imagine the insanity of this? You know, trying to hide from God. It's like, if ever you don't want to play hide and seek with something, it's God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Found you. Because he knows where we are. Amen. But God asked this question. He says, Adam, where are you? Now, how many people know that when God asked that question, he wasn't fishing for information? God knew exactly where. I can imagine God coming down and just looking at them, you idiots. You think you're hiding from, are you serious? So I can imagine God saying, okay, I'll play their game. And he comes down and says, Adam, where are you? And the heart behind that question this morning wasn't that God was fishing for information, but God was trying to build a bridge to reconnect them with himself. He was waiting for a response. And what he wanted them to do was to come out from wherever they were hiding and say, God, here we are. The other disconnection that happened was between Adam and Eve when they sinned. And I don't care how good you think your marriage is, there has not been a perfect marriage since the fall of man. Don't say amen too loud. Think about this. Here's Adam and Eve. The Bible says that they actually walked around naked. There was no guile. There was nothing in them. But the moment they sinned, the Bible says they sewed leaves together and covered themselves. And all of a sudden, there was a disconnect between them. Something changed in their relationship. And it's not what God designed for our lives. And the moment sin entered life, people were disconnected from their God and they were disconnected from the people around them, and that is not God's will for each and every one of our lives this morning. You know, my biggest bugbear about COVID-19 is not all the conspiracy theories that are going on. It's not all the people on that side of the argument or this side of the argument. I get messages every week, I don't know because I'm the pastor or not, from people of both sides. I think if only these people would realize that they are convinced of their argument, they are convinced of their argument, and somehow I'm supposed to agree with all of them. Amen. So generally I'll ignore them. But anyway. But my biggest bugbear about this whole COVID-19 thing, whether you think it's real or whether you don't, is that it's caused a deepening disconnect in people's lives. We live in Western Australia, probably the safest place as far as COVID-19 goes anywhere in the world. We had a grand final, amen, with 61,000 people in there. We're able to have church without social distancing. And it's interesting, I went to meet someone the other day, and as I knocked on the door, they were there, and they said, "Hi, Steve, come in," and they put their elbow out. And I'm thinking, seriously? We're in WA. We're not like other places in the world. But what's happened is that in the minds of people, there's this disconnect that has been exacerbated because of COVID-19. And I don't want to talk about all the other things, and in fact, I never will. Amen. But that's one thing that really annoys me, is the disconnect that has been exacerbated all around the world with people, and it's not healthy. There are so many people this morning, amen, that are in counseling, that there are people who have committed suicide, there are people that are on their own at home, and that, you know, we read all these horror stories, these sad stories of people not being able to be with loved ones, and why people see that and say, this is not right, that's not right, is because deep down inside of each and every one of our hearts, we know it's not right to be disconnected. In fact, we all need to be connected with God and the people that are around us this morning. I'm halfway through page one and I've nearly run out of time. Amen. This morning, the most important relationship or connection that we all need is with God. In Matthew 22, I'm not going to read all of it, but you remember the Pharisee, the lawyer, he comes and asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus responds and he says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Amen. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. There'll be times in the future for that. And I'm sure you've heard greater preachers, better preachers than me, preach on this topic. But only simply to say this morning that the most important relationship that you'll ever have, and in fact, all other relationships in your life will be so much harder without this. The number one relationship that we all need in our life is a relationship with God, is a relationship with Jesus, where He lives in our hearts, amen. When we're introduced to Him and we're born again, we're saved and we enter into an everlasting relationship with our God this morning. You see, without that, every other relationship we have in life will always be more difficult without him. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And so the truth is this morning that life is better when we're connected. Amen? Think about Legos this morning. The success story of Legos is that you can build all of these different shapes. I personally didn't grow up with Legos, but all my kids and my grandkids did, and we had boxes and boxes of this stuff, especially for one of our sons. But one of the great things about Lego is that you can make all these different shapes, but the greatest thing about Lego is that every piece has the ability to connect with any other piece in that Lego set. And you can build things and you can make things and they're great. In fact, the only time that Legos are really annoying is when they're in the pieces and they're all over the floor and you begin to stand on these individual and you can't... Who left this Lego? Who left this disconnected piece of Lego here? And when Lego works, it's when it's connected, it's when it's put together, I mean, the way it was created to be. And this might be a kind of a strange illustration this morning, but you and I have been built like that. We have an ability to connect with everybody around us. Oh, but Steve, you don't know what they've done to me. Can I just say, I was going to say one word, but no, let me say three words. Get over it. God created each and every one of us with the ability to connect with everybody around us this morning. To be connected is built into the very fabric of who we are. Now, I needed a volunteer this morning. The first couple that I asked, they couldn't make it, so I'm just going to call one out, and so I do apologize, but... Bev, could you come and help me out for a moment? Check, 1, 2. Is one working? Let's give Bev a hand. Hallelujah. So for those of you who don't know, Bev's one of the leaders in our church. She is a... come up and join me up on stage here. Grab that microphone. Amen. Bev's a mother. She's a grandmother. Is it two grandchildren?
Yes.
She loves the Eagles, which really makes me like her.
Is this on?
It is on. She loves her family. Yeah. And so, Bev, with all those things, I want you to tell me about some of those things that are really dear to you. It might be one of your grandkids. It might be about, it might be the Eagles. It might be coming to church. It might be... Just begin to talk to me and tell me about something that really means something to you.
Okay. This is all...
Yeah, it is. Just hold it close to you.
Hello? Okay, there
okay,
you go.
Don't tell okay. them, tell me.
Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, you,
we're, all right. Come close, come okay. close. Okay. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
So I want all you right. to talk to me.
Okay, Steve. All right, you and I have known each other for quite a while, and you know how precious my family is to me, and how much I hate the fact that I'm separated from two of my children over in Victoria. I do love coming to church, especially when my pastor takes the time to ask me some important questions.
Sorry, did you say something?
Yes, I did.
Carry on.
Okay, all right. Yes, I do love coming to church. My church family is very important to me, and so is my pastor's
okay,
opinion.
Okay, that's enough. I've heard enough of you. Let's give Bev a hand this morning. How many people think if you saw someone do that for real, that would be incredibly rude? Some wives are saying, my husband does that over the breakfast table every morning with the paper. That would be so incredibly rude. And yet the world has been conditioned to do that all the time. Amen? In fact, I was putting some finishing touches, I was up to way too late last night, finishing touches to this message. And I got to this point and I walked out and there was about 7 or 8 and about 4 or 5 of them were on their phones. Go down to a railway station and watch everybody sitting there on their phones. And when we looked at Bev talking, me reading the our initial response, you know, you were laughing because you knew I was setting you up for something. But if we saw that in real life, we think, how rude is that man? And you see, there's a thing happening in our world now that is disconnecting people from those around them. Now, this is not an anti-social media sermon, although I am going to talk a little bit about it this morning. In January 21, there were nearly 4.7 billion internet users worldwide. Nearly 60% of the global population, that is. And nearly all of those 4.7 billion people, I think about 93% of them, had access to the internet through mobile devices. And that doesn't shock you this morning because we see it every day of our life. In fact, you can see it in church before people go into church. They're out the back, everyone, they're on their phone. It's everywhere. Facebook has 2.9 billion users. Instagram has 1.4 billion users. TikTok has 1 billion views of their videos every day. We have access to get to know more people, to see into their world and reconnect with people from our past, all with the swipe of a screen. Amen? And yet we live in the most disconnected generation that has ever been. On average, people have over 300 Facebook friends. But studies have said that on average, people say that they have two close friends in their life. 25% of people that were surveyed in one particular survey said that they had zero close friends. But they might have 300 Facebook friends. And as I said this morning, this is not an anti-social media message. I just simply want to highlight the difference between what people think they have and what they actually have. There's a thing, and I heard this from Craig Groeschel. Anybody heard of Craig Groeschel? If you don't know Craig Groeschel, at least listen to his leadership podcast, but he is amazing. Amen. But he said, this is a statement he made, and I got some of this stuff from this morning's message from him. He said, people are becoming addicted to instant affirmation. What that means is they might put a post, and I know this is none of you guys, they'll put a post on Facebook, and it's like 3 minutes later, I wonder if anyone's liked my post yet. And they'll spend the next hour every few minutes, oh, he hasn't liked my post yet, I wonder why. Is there a problem with him and me? No one said happy birthday to me yet online. I've posted a selfie and no one's liked it. No one said how amazing I look. And I used the Instagram thing and I smoothed out all the edges and I don't look 62, I look 50 because of the wonders of technology and I did all these things. And what it is instant affirmation. So how come they didn't like it? And what they're doing is they're projecting into the future a problem that's existing right now, is that they don't have any connections in their actual life. And so it's much easier to go on to, I use Facebook, I use social media. But I simply want to highlight a point that we can't put that above our actual real lives this morning. And so they'll do these things, or maybe they might go and binge on Netflix because they feel alone, or they feel anxious, or they've got these problems going on in their lives, and they sit there and they post and they wait for likes and they talk to people, and they binge on Netflix, or they might go out and get drunk just to forget all their problems. And what they're doing is they're projecting into the future, amen, a problem that they have now, and that is they're lonely. Because the truth is this morning, if you're going to have close relationships, if you're going to have intimate relationships with people around you, it actually takes work. It's not as simple as jumping online and, oh, yeah, isn't it amazing? It's not just a love. Now they've got the care button you can press. I can just press that and my relationship with that person has just gone through the roof. Half of them don't even look at who's liked or cared. All they want is the number. How many people have liked? They don't care who it is. You see, building real relationships, being intimate with people around you, takes work. It's not an easy thing. But I want to tell you this morning, it is so rewarding. There's a scripture, and I'm skipping through my notes here. There's a scripture in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Amen. And can I tell you this morning, that scripture is not just talking about going to church, because I've heard it preached. Oh, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Here it is. It's the scripture that tells you you have to be in church. Can I tell you this morning, that is not the only reason. In fact, that's down on the list of the reasons why the writer of Hebrews wrote that. The main principle there is that we meet together. And I thank God that we can come to church on a Sunday. I thank God that we can be in youth group and, well, I can't, but yeah, there are other people that can. Encourage each other by meeting together. There's a scripture, Matthew 18, 20, most of you will know it, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And so one of the benefits this morning of gathering together where two or three are gathered together, Jesus says, there am I in the midst of them. And so if you're sitting there saying, well, I just don't feel God, well, go and hang out with someone. Because where two or three people are, God's there also. God's present, you're present, they're present, everyone's present. We're present in the moment. And how many people know? You know, I know there's a show on TV. I forget the name of it now, about some guy's friends with God on Facebook. Has anyone seen that show? Oh, it must be just me because I'm just this sad individual. But how many people, we're not Facebook friends with God, we're actual friends with God. And there's nothing wrong with having Facebook friends, but have some actual friends. And I'm not saying you don't, but we need to open our lives that where we can begin to work and become close, people that we can share our deepest secrets with. Because that's something that each and every one of us desperately needs. You know, one of the reasons that mental health is off the charts today is because people just don't have a close friend that they can sit down and tell their problems to. You see, there's something about being present in the moment. My dad passed away about 4.5 years ago. It is without doubt the most difficult time in my life that I've ever experienced. And I can remember many, many people coming to me and to Kay and to my kids and to my mum and saying things. And some people said some amazing things to us. Other people said some really dumb things to us. And it's not that they were trying to be. Most of us, we don't know how to, you know, we don't know how to interact in that grief situation. Oh, it'll be all right. No, it won't be all right. My dad's dead. God's got this. Well, I know God's got this, but I'm missing my dad. You know, the people that really helped me through that time were the ones that, yeah, they had some things to say to me, but they were just there. They would just sit there with me and have a cup of tea and sometimes not even speak, but they were just there. They were present. They were in the moment. You see, there's something that's been hardwired into each and every one of us to connect with people around us. To have close, intimate relationships. And can I say this morning? One of the ways that we can connect with people is by serving them. We're running out of time, but let me share a couple of stories. There was a guy who was going through some difficulties in life, and he'd been recommended by his pastor to see a counselor. So he was going to this counselor, and one morning he couldn't get there, and so he rang his pastor and said, look, can you give me a lift to my counsellor this morning? He said, well, I can do, but I've got to stop in at the nursing home first. If you're prepared to come and be there, I can drop you off after. And so the timing worked out. So yeah, that's fine. So he went with his pastor and went into the nursing home. And all the pastor went there to do was to, and there was a couple of other people in the church. All they went to do was just to sit with the people in the nursing home, just to have a cup of tea with them, to read a book to them, to do a craft with them, to play cards with them. And they finished this hour, and this person who had this depression came out just fully alive. And he says, that was amazing. And he bounced into the counselor's office and said, oh, I had this... Excuse me, I had this most incredible morning. He said, why, what happened? Said, well, my pastor picked me up. We went into this nursing home and we made cups of tea and we did crafts and we read to them. We did this, we did that, and we just served them for an hour. And the counselor said, well, now we know the answer to your problem. And the person looked back at them and says, you don't expect me to do this every week, do you? You know, the happiest people I know are people that serve. I'm not going to embarrass him because he's in kids' church this morning, but how many people here know Ken Sullivan? Just about every hand up goes up. Yes, we know. Ken is one of the happiest guys I know. He's always got a smile on his face. But you know the other thing about Ken is that he will always help. He's always serving. I can ring him up and say, Ken, I've got this thing, we can't find it. No problems, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And he's been like that ever since I've known him. And when I said, who knows Ken Sullivan, there was hands going up everywhere, yep, loud affirmation, yep, we all know who Ken is. We love Ken, don't we? And the reason we love him, the reason he's connected so well is because Ken serves God and serves the church. You see, this morning there is a power in connecting and serving. And my prayer, I've said this before, my prayer is that Nations Bunbury will continue to grow and be the biggest church in the Southwest region. I want it to grow. I want to see people added. I want to build. And we can just have the worship team just come up as I bring this to a close this morning. But I don't want all of those things so that we can brag. No, no, no. The reason that I pray, and I know many of you pray that this church would grow, would become large, is not to brag, but because it means we've connected with more people getting saved. That we're seeing more marriages getting healed. That we're seeing more bodies getting healed. That we're seeing more lives getting put together. That we're seeing the kingdom of God begin to expand. Because God has put something in our hearts. And in the very core of who we are. And that is to connect and to serve.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.